Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
The oldest case of cancerous tumors ever found in a human body in the world was discovered in the mummies within the pyramids of Egypt in Mitzrayim. When the Torah HaKadosh said, "Vayachat Vaisai," they embalmed him, describing how they created some type of mixture and anointed a body and mummified a body to preserve it for thousands of years that it should never rot. People definitely laughed at such a phenomenon. Is it at all possible? There was absolutely no knowledge of such a concept at all. And the Torah stated it, and then thousands of years later, it was uncovered as a historical fact, proving the unbelievable authenticity of a historical fact mentioned in the Torah HaKadosh. And cancer was found in some of these mummified bodies. And it's an incredible marvel proving the exact text of the Torah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam preserved Svarim in manuscript form for hundreds and even thousand years. For example, Chiddushei HaMe'iri on the entire Shas was saved in Christian libraries. Besides a few pieces in Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Kama, we had nothing from the Me'iri and many other such manuscripts. Nosanes Toirosoi LaShoimrim. He gave the Torah to libraries to protect it and preserve it till Am Yisrael got those Svarim. Similarly, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam preserved many locations in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Babel, Ashur, where hidden beneath dust for thousands of years lay buried palaces of Sancheriv and palaces of other kings mentioned in Tanakh, which the Bible critics had already attempted to claim there were no such historical realities, no such kings. And suddenly, 100, 150 years ago, excavations began, and they found the Rebbeinu Shel Olam planted an obsession in the hearts of those kings thousands of years ago to make these intricate monuments of horses, people, and of themselves, and walls in the palaces with engravings and writings of all the monarchs of their kingdoms, which are exactly as mentioned in Tanakh, and many other such artifacts, exactly as mentioned in Tanakh, to the point where Rabbi Zamir Cohen, in his Hebrew book, but also printed over later in English, Hidden Treasures and also Journeys to the Truth, shows beautiful, beautiful pictures. It's well worth reading how you see all those excavations. It's unbelievable, proving against the deniers of Tanakh. Ba'ifin nifla ma'oid. Reb Leib, the son of the Chofetz Chaim, who spent 28 years writing the Mishneh Berurah together with his father. He writes, when he took the books to Poland to sell them, it was specifically the Hasidic Jews who embraced the Mishneh Berurah, and almost every single Hasid purchased a set of Mishneh Berurah. And he writes, the Hasidim were all B'nai Torah, the Ger Hasidim, especially the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, loved the Mishneh Berurah, and he told them to buy it, and once the Rebbe said so, but he says they were Rubam Kekulam, purchased the Mishneh Berurah. And when the Chofetz Chaim was planning to move to Eretz Yisrael, and everything was already arranged for him to move,
Kol HaLashon,
the great Zakein, who was almost 115 years old at the time, the Sabe Kaddishri, Reb Shlomo Elezer Alfandri, said that it was revealed to him, Min HaShemayim, that they will not allow Min HaShemayim for the Chofetz Chaim to come to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the Chofetz Chaim would attempt to forge a peace between the opposing factions of Rabbi Yisrael Chaim Sonnenfeld and Rav Kook, and people would claim that he is associating also with the leftists as well, with the other camp, so to speak. And this would diminish the honor of the Chofetz Chaim, and because they desire in heaven for the Mishneh Berurah to become the definitive halachic authority for generations, for all of Klal Yisrael, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam won't allow his name to be compromised or entangled in controversy, and therefore he won't be permitted to come to Eretz Yisrael. In those times, before World War II, If somebody would say that a Lithuanian halachic authority would become the leading authority for Hungarian Jews, Sephardic Jews, Hasidic Jews alike, people would have dismissed it as an absolute exaggeration. Yet the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted all of Klal Yisrael to unite under the banner of this book. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo orchestrated events, terrible events, a Holocaust, whatever, unifying in America and in the Yisrael. But the bottom line is the Rebbeinu Shlomo constantly ensures that the Jewish people don't splinter into fractured factions and remain a great, complete nation. And part of it is that they should all go under the banner, under the flag of a certain Sefer, and that unifies them psychologically and as a nation. Going back to 400 or 500 years before, observe the divine providence, the Hashgacha, the Shulchan Aruch with the Ramah, that the entire Klal Yisrael subordinated itself under this book, under the banner of the Shulchan Aruch. There could have been two entirely different halachic svarim, but no, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, with his agayis on the Shulchan Aruch, which creates a mindset that the entire nation belongs to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, some will go with the Ramah's minhagim, but the bottom line is we're all under the banner of one Sefer. Under a certain banner, and it creates an unbelievable unification of a nation. And these are all unbelievable ways how Hashem continues to combine the nation as one. Ibitzel of Volozhna, the son of Chaim Volozhna, together with the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch, to unify for causes of chinuch, that to go to the Tsar of Russia and others. Many times, from Mulchemes Hadas, to fight for Yiddishkeit, the Chafetz Chaim, the Agudas Yisrael, Litvashi Gedoylem, together with Chassidish, being together and unifying in Eretz Yisrael to fight for the cause of Yiddishkeit, all factions merged together, and that all accomplishes unbelievable unification of one nation. In the times of Reb Sadia Goyen, the nation almost splintered because there was a big fight as to the calendar when Yom Tovim would fall out, and Reb Sadia Goyen 1,000 years ago had to take on a battle to make sure that the entire nation won't splinter and have different calendars and different Yom Tovim, which would destroy the unification of a nation. And in an unbelievable way, the calendar was preserved and the entire nation keeps the same Yom Tovim. Consider the astonishing wisdom embedded in the Torah HaKadosha, Kiddush HaChodesh, precise down to the exact second that NASA eventually verified. Up until 100, 150 years ago, people believed there were merely a few hundred stars in the universe. Yet Chazal tell us a number reaching in the trillions. And today, NASA's powerful telescopes confirmed sort of that exact figure, which would have been impossible to ascertain through human intellect alone. Likewise, the Zohar HaKadosh states that the world is round like a ball, confirming that the earth is a sphere. The Zohar HaKadosh also states that at the north and south poles, there are extended periods during the year where the sun doesn't set at all, resulting in 6 months of darkness and 6 months of light. All of this knowledge, the Chassid Yavetz, who lived during the times of the Spanish Inquisition, writes, was given to Klal Yisrael through prophecy originating from Moshe Rabbeinu and from the Nevi'i Ha'emes Vatzedek. Because interestingly, as he puts it, Klal Yisrael has to spend most of their time in learning simple laws of the Torah and the scientific knowledge that's needed and necessary to live the Torah life was given prophetically. You also likewise find the Chazal that they possessed a vast understanding of agricultural science. They understood lametes velochis, weaving, building. One can see magnificent structures found in Eretz Yisrael, stones, gigantic stones weighing tens of thousands of pounds, literally tons, which can be seen in Chevroin, Kislam Aravi. How are they able to lift and build such things to such heights? Unbelievable. Chazal tell us, Targum Onkelos says, "Vitzal v'amal yoisoi ruach nevuah." It was prophetic that Bezalel knew such unbelievable arts of weaving and creating with the same weave different animals on either side of the cloth. Consider the incredibly bold statement that Moshe Rabbeinu tells us in the Torah Kedoshah, which today, out of over a million species of animals known in the world, the Torah says that the kosher species have two specific signs, Maila Geira, Mafrisei Parasa, chewing the cud and having split hooves. And he says there are three that possess only one of the two signs. This means that when the Torah states that only these three have only one sign, the Torah literally means that only these three. How could the Torah venture to make such a sweeping claim? And the exact same thing applies when the Gemara states that anything possessing scales also possesses fins. If one would find anywhere in the oceans not like that, it would disprove the Torah. Who would venture to put himself at risk? And even the wisdom of Aristotle, who was the father and founder of all natural sciences that later permeated the world. And then there's the wisdom of civilization, of civilized life. John Adams, the second president of the United States, writes that the entire civilized world is built entirely upon the foundation of the Holy Torah. And without Torah Kedoshah, nothing would exist. Medrash Rabbe in Parshas Bereishis, V'seirosa yege yoimam v'loilo, he says, Seirosa means the Torah of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, that Adam HaRishon studied yoimam v'loilo. It refers to Adam HaRishon. Loisinov created family life. Kabides Ovicha, without Torah Kedoshah, humans would be like depraved animals, sort of like the Indians were in the Indian culture here in the United States. The almana, her husband died. You were just allowed to pillage and steal everything and let her die in the frost. China, they killed babies. In India, they would burn the almana alive. Widows had no schus to live. They sent them to heaven, back with their husbands. And the Torah is the opposite. You have rachmanis and almanis for yisaymim. Ad kdei kach. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, Sodom was destroyed because they weren't merachim on poor people. And the question is, it's not one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So some rishonim say it falls under the category of dinim. But everything comes from the Torah Kedoshah. Without Torah, there's no civilization at all. The Nazis didn't believe in the Bible. Hitler hated Jews because they brought the Bible to the world. He writes it specifically. And Hitler, as Eichmann said, wanted that they should learn from the animal kingdom, survival of the fittest, how the weak is destroyed by the stronger one. The whole concept of a week, the whole concept of a Shabbos. The modern guy told me, even if he'd go off the derech, but he would never give up Shabbos. It revitalizes everything, rejuvenates him. The whole concept of a week that was created, it's all biblical. It's all the chachma neflah that we're so used to that we don't realize what it would be without it. It takes somebody to be blind for a month to appreciate seeing. We can't divest ourselves of the knowledge of the Torah to be able to ponder what life would be like without the Torah Kedoshah. And we'll end with the words of the Ramban, who says that the path of the Torah is the best path in the world for civilization, for the creation of family structure. It might sometimes be hard and tough to stay within the confines of the laws, but without them, we would be living in a jungle.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.